between them and God. And so in other churches, they teach that tongues is not for today and you can't receive it. But we see in the Bible that we have received it, and a lot of us have received the gift of tongues, the prayer language. How many of you received the gift of tongues? So you can have that. You can have it right now. It costs you nothing. It's free. And it's actually the best way to pray. If you want to pray the will of God in your life, praying in tongues is the best way to pray for anything that you need in line with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will grab your spirit, pray through your spirit, pray the will of God, whether it's healing, whether it's finances, whatever it's children, you can pray the will of God. That is such a gift, because you don't know everything. You don't know everything how to pray. You're limited by yourself. So Holy Spirit, God gave you Him to be inside you, and He's called the intercessor. He's called the standby, and He'll pray the will of God for you. The Bible says, Romans 8, 26, 27, 28, then, you know, you can pray God's will in your life. And so it's an unselfish way to pray. You just pray, you know, for someone that you don't know nothing about, and you can pray God's will in that situation. So it's by faith. It's something that you do by faith. We also pray, we also believe in other things like healing. We talk about healing, the last days. And a lot of you are updated on the last days. You're not being afraid, because when Jesus comes, you're not going to be in the dark. You'll know exactly when He's coming, because the Holy Spirit will prepare you and tell you what to do. So you're not going to be here. You're not going to be here when the devil comes and takes over anyway. You'll be up there with Jesus. Amen. So you don't have to be afraid of the devil and what he's going to do, lock you up and take all your money. He's not going to do that. Jesus wouldn't save you for the devil to you know, kick you around. What kind of God is that? You know, so we need to learn about God and how He takes care of His people. And if you read in the Old Testament, you know how He protected the people of God. And you know the reason why they went to Egypt in the first place is because they disobeyed God. And God didn't send them to Egypt. They went there themselves. They went into Babylon captivity because they disobeyed God. And anybody knows that if you walk away from God, you're on your own. You're on your own. When I was in AA, they told me that I could, if I didn't like going and getting sober there, I can just refund my whatever I want to refund and go right back and take whatever I want to take out there again. But I didn't want to get lickings again. I don't want gels and detoxes. And so those people, you know, they went out and they went to Egypt. They went to Babylon captivity because they disobeyed God. You know, there is a perfect will of God. And in that perfect will, there's all the provisions you can want. And even in the toughest moments of life, when you're in the perfect will, you have peace in your heart, and you're going to have your provisions needed. And you know, and I was just thinking about different things over there. I made in my mind over there when I started out, I'm going to pick a mentor, and I'm going to follow that person and follow what they do. So I decided I was going to pick Brother Hagin. And I was just a young man. I didn't know anything too much about him. I knew that I liked what he had to say. And he was elderly and gentle and kind. And so I followed him. And I said, I'm going to do what he did. And everybody has to follow. Everybody's following somebody. You're following somebody. Everything you're wearing is, your style is from somebody. The way you act. You know, we all pick up something from somebody. And so you have to make a determination what you're going to, where you want to be in life. And so, you know, it's important to find somebody that you can, you know, mentor from, get mentored from. And so we all do that, you know, and gain a life because, you know, we need to follow people that are successful in life. And of course, we all follow. We say, I'm going to have Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. Well, you also need human people that you can see. That are following Jesus. Yeah, they know Jesus before you did. But we all have to follow somebody. And so so we all are learning. And so we did a number of things over the years that we followed other people. But we always come back to the same thing. You know, what does the Bible say about different things? So we need to learn how to pray. Pray the will of God and pray for each other and follow the Spirit. And so we teach about Holy Spirit and how to be led by the Spirit, how to hear the Holy Ghost. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to actually hear God properly. And if you're selfish, you can't hear God. If you're in the flesh, you can't hear God. And if you walk in the Spirit, what does it mean walk in the Spirit? Like this? You know? No, walking in the Spirit means you're going to walk by the inside. You're going to walk by... Here's another thing I just was going to mention to you. The Holy Spirit reminded me that the best way to get into the Spirit is praying in tongues. If you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, the best way is to pray in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says he that's praying in tongues, he's praying in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And we need to connect with that. So the more you pray in tongues, Brother Hagin said the most major things that he did, the most successful things he did in life, is he attributed to praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Spirit. And all the answers came out of that. As he prayed in tongues, the message came out of his spirit. And he knew exactly. When you get to that point, you know exactly what you're supposed to do without a shadow of a doubt. And so I'm gonna urge everybody today, if the Holy Ghost moves in here, well, I shouldn't say that. When the Holy Ghost moves in a stronger way, when that extra anointing comes here, and it will come, the anointing will come, you just jump in, start praying in tongues. And I promise you, you'll have a great time. You'll go... You know, I know when I was filled with the Spirit, I just went up somewhere and everybody disappeared. I came back and I said, wow, what a wonderful time. And so I didn't want to come back. I didn't want to come back. I went in the heavenlies. And so I was out in the heavenlies and I did not want to come back. I wanted to stay there. But it's a wonderful place to be in the Spirit, praise God. How many of you would like to take a trip right now? Amen. take a trip in the Spirit and just go, woo! Go right around the world, come back. Wow, what a wonderful scene. So some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Don't sweat it. Don't be afraid. Or don't be jealous, because you can have some too. So everybody can have the Spirit, amen? So that's why we teach people about what we believe here, so that, you know, if somebody falls out under the power of God, you're not going to get scared. Okay, they're not fainting. They're not dying or anything. I remember I was in the Benny Hinn conference. You and I were at the conference, and this lady came up with a little boy. And the lady falls over into the power. And Benny Hinn tells that little boy, what happened to your mommy? And she goes, she's dead. He said, no, little boy, she's not dead. And so we had a good laugh at that. So, you know, he has lots of fun when he does the ministry. And then funny things happen under the Holy Spirit. On Wednesday night, the Holy Spirit fell right at the moment. The Lord gave me a word about the anointing. And I was walking out the door, the Lord said, the anointing. And I knew the Lord wanted to go in that direction. And I had all my stuff ready. I really studied hard. Yeah, I studied hard. Hours, man, hours. You know, sitting at my thing and working this out. This is what I'm going to do and how I'm going to say it and everything else. And I didn't even preach that message. I had a hard time trying to find out any scriptures. I said, I got to find scriptures right away. I was scrambling around. And the Lord said, the anointing and the power of God began to fall here. Different ones started getting hit. Jerry was just rattling. I mean, I could count his change, what he had in his change pocket there. He was just rattling around. So it was wonderful to get that kind of anointing. It was good. I didn't make any sense of it. I tried to make sense out of it. I couldn't talk. In fact, I tell my wife, I said, you know, it's hard. When you get over in that, you try to talk, you can't talk. And so I looked out and I see people laughing. They never laughed before. It's been years since I've seen them laugh. They look different. I mean, somebody crack a smile. You know God's moving when somebody cracks a smile. Hadn't smiled for like years. Years. Maybe too much Botox or something. I don't know. But we're going to get some good Holy Ghost tonight, this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you find your Bible? Did you find what we're looking at? Okay. Okay, let's look at something here. Make some sense out of this morning. Praise the Lord. Anybody new here this morning? Anybody new? Or you just washed your face? You look different. Comb your hair. You got a higher hair. I had... Sandra. Sandra's in town this morning. Sandra, wave at me. There's Sandra, my lovely, wonderful spiritual daughter. You know, she every once in a while, she goes around town, she gets out of town, and she sends me a message, and she said, I gave you something this morning. She gives me a little something every once in a while. I thank God for that. She knows who her pastor is. She knows. I said, you better come home. And I hadn't seen her for a long time. There she was this morning. So here she is again. And I was going to say something about her, but I forgot what I was going to say now. So I'll come back to me. So let's go to Romans 11:29. We're going to talk about the gifts and callings of God. That's our title, the gifts and callings of God. And the topic is, of course, the anointing. And our text here is found in Romans 11:29. This scripture brought me back from being out of fellowship with God. I was a Christian. I didn't actually leave the church. I was not going to church. And I was kind of like what we say in limbo. I was not either not walking totally in the world. I was not in church. I thought I was actually lost. The devil told me I was lost. And this scripture brought me back to the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage anybody here that's been off the beaten path and you've been on, you know, you fell off because of life's troubles. And the devil will take a trouble in your life and get you off into the beaten path. And, and you can get into trouble. Not because you wanted to, because you've been hurt, because a disappointment, major disappointment in your life, and you just went off and you're just kind of sailing in no man's land. And this scripture brought me back to where I should be. And I saw scriptures when I was out there, you know, not in church. I was not in fellowship, not serving actively in a fellowship where God wanted me to. And I would read scriptures like, I'd rather be a doorman in the house of God than be spend a day out there without him. And I said, God, I would think about it. God, I just want to go back to church. I don't know if they can accept me anymore about what I've been through in my life. I don't know if people could ever forgive me. And I was like out there for a few years and just wanting to go back. And when there's meetings in some town, I go to a meeting and go walk into church, sit in the back row, and hope, maybe Jesus might see me. I mean, that's kind of crazy thinking. That's the way how dark you can be out there and not know that God loves you. And all the time, God had everything ready for me, and he wanted to bless me, he wanted to receive me in. But religion told me that they were done with me, that I was no more, they didn't want me. And so, and that's why, you know, I came to people who wanted to use me in the kingdom of God. And so that scripture became one of my favorites for a while, that I would just be a doorman in the house of God. And the Lord brought me back. And I came to a church, I went to a church, and Kevin Ashby was there, and he quoted the scripture and brought me right back. Everything that I had as a kid came right back into me. All the things of the callings of God just saved my life and saved me from hell. And I thank God that he's not a God of one or two, three chances, but he's a God of chances all the time. So if you're discouraged this morning, if you've gone off the beaten path and you have failure, listen, God loves you. He don't love the sin, as they say, but he loves the person who's having failure and over and over and over and over again. So get up and get yourself back on the things of God. And so don't always, put people down. Bring them up. Tell them something nice. Amen. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have somebody to encourage you and to bless you. Isn't that wonderful? That's why we all love the guy from Texas, that young fellow there. He's not young, he's probably in his 50s now. He's probably older than me. What's his name, this fellow? Joel Osteen? John Osteen is dead. Or he's gone to heaven. He's probably younger than us now. Joel is wonderful. And he's always nice, isn't he? He's got a nice word, you know. So I love Joel, praise God. I was kicking the Joel myself once in a while. So I have him on one of my favorite channels on my Ustream. What is that? Sirius, anybody listen to Sirius? Yeah, this has got a few people. Sirius is a Sirius radio. You can get anything in there. Okay, let's preach the gospel. Okay, I think we're going a little bit too far in private discussions there. All right, Romans 11:29. I'm reading the King James Version. It says, the gifts and callings. There's two things here, gifts. How many people know you could have more than one gift? Okay, the gifts and calling. One calling of God are without repentance. And I want to read this in the Amplified Bible. For the gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they are given. And he does not change his mind about to whom he gives his grace. The grace of God is the enablement of God. It's called the anointing of God. It's called the gift of God. It's God's ability, God's equipment to a person, or whom he sends his call. So when God graces you, we've been talking about grace, God's unmerited favor, God's blessing on you. You didn't have to earn the call. You didn't have to have a grade 12 or a university education. If God's going to call you, he's going to call you whether you don't have to have anything. And that's what's kind of confusing sometimes for people. You have to learn that when God called me, I thought I was ready right away. And some of you are the same way. You think, I know what God calls me. I'm going to step right into it right now. No, you won't. It's going to take a long time. You have to go through me first. Because you got to put up with somebody like me before I actually go step in there. And sometimes you think, you're ready. No, you're not. You're not ready. And so we all, you could actually receive a word from God and misinterpret God. You can misinterpret time and details and different things. And God doesn't just give you something one day and all of a sudden you're recklessly go out there and do all kinds of damage. You have to prove yourself before God and people. Some of them are going to trust you in 1 week. You were just out there stealing cars. We're going to give you money? Amen. And so we think about that sometimes. God's going to trust you right away. No one's going to trust you. You have to prove yourself. So that's what's hard about it. Your flesh wants to just have everything right away. Hey, don't you know who I am? It's like the man downtown. He probably is called of God and probably knows it. And I'm going to the bank with my wife. We're sitting there. He knocks on my window. And he says, I want $20. No, he didn't start off with a dollar or $2. He said, 20. I was afraid he's going to start asking me for 100. And I said, sir, I don't have any. I don't have it. I don't have. My wife's going in there. She's going to get some money. And I don't think she's going to give you any. I just say that. So he started getting rough with me. And my pastor was getting a little nervous. And so he says, I want $20. Don't you know who I am? I said, no, I don't. But that's how we are. He said, I'm a prophet. And we go to the church, right? We stayed only like 7 days. And we were out there, came out of detox like 3 times that month. And now we expect to step into a prophetic ministry. But God's not going to do that. He's not insane. Amen? I mean, you'd be insane, if a pastor said, okay, let's prophesy right now. You wouldn't have anything to prophesy about. You got to put something in there first, right? For the Holy Ghost to give you something to use. So you have to train a little bit. So, you got to have, think about it, working with people, you do get hurt. But sometimes it's because you're twisted yourself. Right? You got hang-ups and everything else. You got to work through. And people will go do different things. And you think they're after you. They're not after you. We don't have no time to be after you. We're busy with ourselves. Okay. Let's get back. This is the word, amen. This is still the word. Hey, Pastor Ken, this is the word. This is the word. Yeah, it's probably for you too. Yeah. Okay. So the reason why I'm using this little thing, because this is not working for some reason. It's supposed to be one for my Bible and all that, but it's all in here. The Bible's in there. So anyway, many are called to fulfill the role as an introduction. Many are called to fulfill a role in the ministry or in church or in life, in secular life. God has callings for people to work in the secular world, like maybe in law or education or wherever. God has a calling for people to work in banks, wherever. God has a calling for everybody. You don't have to work inside of a church to have a call. God has a call for everybody. And so, but guess what? We're going to talk about that in our leadership as well tonight. So if you're, I was going to mention to you, if you're new to the church, you can hook on and join our leadership team. We've been teaching this for 20 years now, Anita, right? Is that 20 years we've been teaching? We've been teaching leadership, that kind of leadership style for 20 years, and we've been teaching that before that, so thank God. We never graduate. It's amazing, right? So many people are called to fulfill a role in life for God, either for ministry or for secular or inside the church. And then there, he also supplies gifts for that person. As we see in that scripture verse, our text, he calls you, and what they call, he anoints you. He gives you a gift or a grace that accompany that call, and it's very visible that people know and see exactly, you know, they can tell right away that you're gifted in some, certain areas. And just because you're gifted in one area doesn't mean we can do everything. That's why there's different people are called to the ministry. They do different things better than us. So, you know, there's a lot of things. We don't have to be intimidated by it because we're all different. Everybody's different. And so this anointing is referred to as the equipment that God gives you. So the understanding is that if God calls you, he's going to equip you. And so the point is this morning that, you know, before the anointing comes with the calling, to whom he calls, he equips. So you don't have to ever feel at a disadvantage when God calls you. And I was for a long time until I learned things. I learned things in the ministry. God taught me personally, and I learned from other people. I learned from older people. I learned that if God calls you, you're not alone. God will bring people with you. God will supply people. God will supply the money. He'll supply the equipment. He'll supply whatever he needs. He'll provide loyal people to be around you. And I thank God for that because you need to know that you're not alone. Can you say, I'm not alone? So, because so many people in ministry, they feel they're alone, and I felt alone a lot of times, and there's no help inside, I thought, and God has a place for us. And so many times people feel alone because they took themselves out of the calling and where God wanted them to, and where God placed them into a place in a local fellowship or somewhere that God wants you to learn certain things in there. And God has a plan for you. And so none of us can ever feel at a disadvantage when God calls us to do something. He'll always supply the equipment to fulfill the call. So don't ever feel like, you know, we'll look at a scripture over there in Romans chapter 12. The Bible says that God gives you the faith to complete the call. Like, you don't have to squeeze out faith in your spirit to believe that you can ever fulfill the call as a minister per se, or as a lawyer, or whatever it is. God puts that inside you. It's a gift. When God puts it inside you, he gives you the actual belief that you can actually accomplish the calling, whatever he called you to do. He put that inside you, you know. It's like when God called me to be a pastor, he just put it inside me. It's like the gift of faith. The gift of faith works that way. All of a sudden, one day you couldn't do something, next day you can do something. And so it's an incredible gift that God places inside you, that you know, that you know, that you know that you can do some certain thing. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can dissuade you. I've had people try to talk me out of ministry. Older people try to talk you out of ministry. Pastors try to talk me out of ministry. And they say, you know, are you sure? And they were playing the devil's advocate. I'm glad they did, because they tried to, we had people sit down with my wife and I. We were younger in the ministry. And they asked us different questions, you know, and the pastor that we had, to try to dissuade me from going to the ministry. And I remember her talking to somebody, a friend. I have two young people in my office saying about us. I got two people from our office, and they don't know what they're doing. And so we didn't know what we're doing. But how many people know? You don't have to know what you're doing all the time. If God calls you, God will supply a way for you to know whatever. I mean, you know, you think about Abraham and God called him. The Bible says he didn't even know where he was going. But don't use that as a crutch as well, because there's something you have to know. So there's sometimes you have to know something. So So the gift and callings are irrevocable. Once God places a call on your life, God never changes his mind. Who changes his mind? You do. And other people change their mind about you. And a lot of people don't believe you anyway. If you have a calling, most people wouldn't believe you in the first place. So don't try to convince people what God wants you to do. Just go ahead and do it. Just start doing things that's going to convince people that you're called. You know, I think about this young man right over here sitting in the front row. He wants to be in the ministry. I heard him say it myself. And I watched him. And I watched his actions. I watched what he does for the last little while. I watched him since he was a little kid. Come in church. In fact, I might have did his dedication. I think I have a picture of you, dedicated you as your little boy with your mom and dad. I remember this kid. He grew up in church. I mean, he was away for a little bit. He tried to get away. God brought him back. He did his best to get away. But the Lord brought him back. And I watched people. And I know, you know, it's incredible when God places a call in someone's life. It kind of jives. Everything jives about their life that they want this calling. And they're willing to suffer through some things. And you'll have to suffer through some things. As a young man, when God calls you, you suffer through some things that you can't do like everybody else does. I wish I had someone to teach me when I was younger than I was. I would have been way ahead of myself, ahead of my time. You know, like he's in a new world, ahead of his time. Can you just see it now, guys? I mean, I'd be way ahead, right? Don't you ever catch yourself daydreaming like that? See yourself eating your Campbell's soup one day and you're thinking about your calling. Oh. It's not the Campbell's soup that you're smiling. You're thinking about the wonderful things that God's going to do in your life. But anyway, I should do a lot of commercials. Wouldn't it be great if I did commercials that paid me like $1 million? So let me just talk about a proving time. A proving time, everyone has to prove their worth before people can trust you. Before God can trust you. Before God can trust you, he has to trust you with people. Because people are his greatest asset. People are your greatest asset. So you have to treat people nice. You know, I try to be nice to everybody. When they're mean to me, they say bad things to me. Sometimes they try to jab me. I just try to smile as best as I could. And just don't answer back. And sometimes, you know, you try to get out there and you try to fight again. And next thing you know, you're killing somebody in your mind. I don't know if anybody had that thing. All of a sudden, you're back out there murdering people. And you're a pastor. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, Pastor Ken, how many times you killed somebody last week? He's burning. But, you know, I don't know how many times you ran over somebody there, Mr. Corey. Amen. Anyway, you know, your mind is crazy. You have to control your mind, right? If you let your mind do anything, you'd be crazy, like just going nuts. I mean, everybody be stealing off each other. And okay, let's get back to here. I don't know. There's something here that's so funny that it's amazing. Everything's funny for this morning. Okay, so 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 says there, and let these also be proved. Everybody say proved. Say be proved. He's talking about a pastor in a local church and people in the local church, and this word is for everybody. Let them be proved first, and then let them use the office of a deacon. Be found blameless. And of course, deacon is what they call, what we understand as ministry. It helps people. Deacons are servers or servants. They're helpers. They're helpers in the church. And so anybody that's working in the church has to prove themselves, and you never stop proving yourself. And don't be, you know, disgruntled or angry because somebody's watching you. You're always suspicious. Is there somebody watching me? I hope they're watching me because I'm doing something good right now. But, you know, you want to have somebody looking after you. It's important that we all have that, and God gives us that proving point in our families first, and with our parents and our siblings, and they see us and watch us, and we understand that kind of thing. It's so it's not different when you come to church. They all have to, you know, people say, I'm on my own and all. No, you're not on your own. No one's on their own. We're all being watched by each other. We're all watching each other every day, right? I know people say, you know, when they join a church, they start joining a church here. Over the years, they said new people, said, some, especially some guys who've been suspicious in another church, maybe they've been kicked out or something. They said, I'm watching you. I said, okay, watch all you can. And they didn't hang around too. So I wonder what happened to them. Oh, so Paul tells this. Paul tells Timothy, a pastor, he said, let everybody prove themselves. All the people who want to learn, aspire to be leaders. In every organization is the same way in the world. It's no different. Everybody has to prove themselves to prove their worth. In Galatians 6:4, it says, but let every man prove his own work. You have to prove to yourself. You got to trust yourself and learn that you're not going to quit when things get tough. Right? And there's going to be plenty of time when you're working. I don't care what you're doing. If you're in business, no matter what it is, and if you work in the educational field, political field, law, you're going to find tough times, tough clients, tough people, and situations are going to get rough. So you're going to have to learn to stay strong and learn how to pace yourself. I know when we first started, man, we worked, I think for the first 10, 15 years, we worked like around the clock. We just kept going, working. And a lot of the stuff maybe didn't mean too much, but to us it meant a lot because we were trying to prove to ourselves that we mean business. So the gifts and callings of God comes with a time of proving through obedience, where we acquire experience through time. As in the case of the Apostle Paul and other people, it took Paul 15 years before he went into his ultimate calling, which was his apostleship. He wasn't an apostle right away. The first day he got saved, he wasn't functioning as an apostle. The second year, the third year, the fourth year, the fifth year, the sixth year, the 10 years, he wasn't functioning as an apostle right away. He had various callings in his life, and God had to prove him. He had to prove himself to be worthy of a calling. Like Elisha, for example, who worked with the prophet Elijah for more than 10 years, very closely. 2 Kings 2:19, and we see this second chapter there. He worked with this man very closely for those 10 years until one day Elijah said, I'm going to be taken away here. You know, the prophet knew that God was going to take him. He said, I'm going to be taken away, and ask for anything you want, and God will give it to you. He said, I want a double portion of what you have. I want what the anointing is on you, the anointing that's placed on you. I'm called in the prophetic area. You're a prophet. I want double of what you got. Now, you can't just ask for double of what you're not. Okay, have some sense. Okay, so because some people, they're not called to the ministry of apostle or pastor, and so they want double what he got. No, you find out what God called you to do first, and then you can ask for double from that time on. Amen? So I learned that pretty quick, and I learned that from Brother Hagin. I learned that from Benny Hinn. I learned a lot of stuff from listening to people. I followed Benny Hinn for many, many years. I went to wherever, you know, where I can get to. I'd go there, serve in his ministry, and do whatever I can, and give money to him regularly as a partner. I traveled to Orlando, Florida. I went to Minneapolis. I went to, you know, all these towns, you know, all these cities that he was going to, and I would go there and once a month and sit under that ministry in special meetings and listen to him every day, and because I wanted what he had. I wanted to know how he did what he did. I wanted to learn. I wanted to apprentice there. And of course, I was following Brother Hagin, and until the Lord said to me, okay, you learned a lot from that. Now, you can do all that by faith. I'm talking about the anointing. Then I learned that you can do stuff by faith. And it's better to learn things by faith. Thank God that you can sit under somebody and learn things. And I learned something from this, from the life of Elisha and Elijah. You can have the same anointing, you could, that anointing from that person can come on you. Brother Hagin taught us that for years. He said, I'm going to show you, the Lord, he said this to us. He said, I'm going to show you how to get any kind of anointing you want. And of course, all our ears perked up. Because he said, provided that you have the same calling as that person. And so you can, he said, here's the danger. The danger is that if you fall too closely to somebody and they make mistakes, you can fall in the same mistakes they did. So that's why they have, good teachings like, God's Generals. Robert Zlarin did that. In fact, Robert Zlarin, this, in 1991, my wife and I went to a Robert Zlarin conference, and it's called Invasion 91 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And the first time I ever met Benny Hinn was there in 1991. We walked into this meeting, and it was so packed and full. Then he taught exactly what Brother Hagin taught us, and my ears perked up because I wondered what that guy had. And the first day I walked into my church, I didn't know it. That anointing came on me. I walked into church and people began to get anointed and fall over into the power of God. I didn't know. Because he said, and the principle was there. The principle that you can get that anointing on you. And so thank God. And the other thing about it that, you don't need the anointing all the time. You don't have to have a full anointing every day long walking like this. You can't live that way, Get up in the morning, where's my coffee, honey? And your wife can't make coffee because you're so shaking, That anointing, that power of God, potentially is always there in you once you're anointed and called. That anointing is always in there, but it doesn't always work because not everybody's reciprocal for that calling to work on them, and they don't trust you or they don't like you or they don't respect you. They're not going to get that anointing. And that's what Jesus said. Whoever expects you, they're going to get it. And so, to a lot of people, I'm Roma. To other people, I'm simply Pastor Roma. They have that respect. They see something more than natural. They see something spiritual there than just a person. And when you come to that level, that thing will work for you like they say, magic. That was the wrong word to say there. But it's, I don't know what to say, but that's how it works. And when you respect someone in the Spirit, God will have that anointing come on you. And so that's why that man followed this guy for 10 years. And the principles that we saw with Elijah and Elisha was this. You can catch the anointing. And Brother Hagin told us that. He says, here's three principles if you want that anointing to come on you. Number one, it's be in the same environment where that person is all the time. Go where he goes. Follow him. We saw it in the life of Elisha. He said, I will never let you go. I'm following you wherever you go. I'm going here. And he said, no, you stay here. No, I'm coming with you. So Elisha followed this man wherever he went. Whatever town he went to. That's what I did. Whenever I could and had the money, had the bus fare, the ability, I went to wherever Benny Hinn was. And I followed him, and I wanted to know what he did. I took notes. I sat there, and I took notes. Why did that guy fall down? What did he say? What did that person say? I recorded it down. I just didn't get drunk all day long. I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn. Well, how did it happen? And I said, if he did, he could do it, I could do it. God is no respecter of persons. Like what I'm doing here, anybody can do what I'm doing, provided you got the same calling and you could have even more. I mean, sometimes you scratch and claw at everything. But prove yourself. So be in the same environment. Number one is the environment. Not the coffee house, the environment, wherever that meeting is going, whatever they're doing, you be there. Prayer meeting, be there. Be special service, be there. Number two association. Whoever you associate with, they'll rub off on you. Who you hang around with? My wife knows if I'm hanging around with Long Neck 58 guys, I come back and sound a little bit different. So you've been hanging around those 58 guys again. Hey, chum. So he knows I kick back into my old ways. I don't not mean stealing cars and stuff, but just the way I talk and everything. So my wife knows, you know. Okay, so whoever you're with, you're gonna start to talk like them, you're gonna act like them, you're gonna wanna do the same things they do. You know, it's just the way it is. I learned that from school and university. They told us that, you know, your environment changes you. The people who you hang around with, you'll be like them. You'll never rise to the level of who you're with. So, well, I'm the smartest one there. Well, everybody's dumb with you with. You better find somebody smarter people you with. Anyways, might have been for you. But listen, you have to be who you hang around with. It's going to rub off on you. Eventually, you remember that, my friend, stick with the winners? Remember that term, stick with the winners? Yeah, we stick with the winners. The people who don't go back in and out of jail, in and out of the streets, and in and out of detox. And we stick with the winners. I'm sober, man. Praise God. 40, how many years now? 40 some years. What's 1977. Last time I had a little nibble, eh? Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Four claps. But anyway, 43 of the other ones are still drinking. I'm going out today celebrating. But it's only one day at a time, right? So what was I saying? So association, right? And influence. The next one is influence. Whatever you allow to influence you to think a certain way, whatever you're allowing in your life, let's say for influence, I'm talking about what kind of books are you reading? What kind of magazines you're reading, or books, or what do you listen to? What kind of CDs, tapes are listening to? What kind of music you listen to? What kind of people you like to talk to? Well, those guys, whatever they say is going to get inside you. So constantly, you ask my wife, I listen to Brother Hagin almost every day for, 30 years. I listen to him every day. I listen to Keith Moore every day. Because I want that influence on me. I want the anointing of that ministry on me. We give a little bit to offering to Keith Moore every month. Why? Because I want that here. I want that for you. I want me to be the kind of teacher like he is. I want Brother Hagin's anointing. I want that to come here so that I can be like that. I can have that. It's important for us to have that. And so those three things that you can actually have the same level or same kind of anointing come on you. So it says over here that Paul, he didn't begin where he was called. He began where he should be, where God wanted him to be as a learner. Let's go over here to Galatians 1, 15 and 17. So Paul began as a preacher first. He didn't begin as an apostle. He was not a pastor first. He became as a preacher. That's the first thing he did, was become a preacher. When it pleased God, how many people know that you have to please God? Yeah? When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, in other words, the calling was there before he was ever even a human being, so to speak. God knew about you even before you were in your mother's womb, the Bible says. He placed in my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Everybody say, call me by his grace. In other words, God has a calling for you, and you didn't have to earn it. He already preordained what you should be. You don't have to be like anybody else. Just be yourself. Now, I mean, you need those role models, and they'll rub off on you some, but you're going to be you. And to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among them, among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither did I go up to Jerusalem before them, which were apostles before me, but I went unto Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So Paul said, I preached right away to the heathen, or people who didn't know about God. Then 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, King James, Wherefore I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, I lay not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Thank God he's a teacher. He became an apostle. He was a preacher, an apostle. The Bible says he's a teacher. How many people know that you could have more than one anointing? You know? How many of you are anointed more than one way? Yeah. I walk this way, I walk that way. No, not that way. You're called to have more than one calling, one area. You know? God will give you the anointing or the power to do certain things for him. So Paul was picked out to preach Christ to faith to the Gentiles. He told them how to live by faith. 2 Timothy 1:11 says, "Wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." So the first thing anybody's going to do if you're actually called to the full pulpit ministry is preach. You're going to have to learn how to preach. You're going to have to learn how to preach. Get up there and start talking. Just open your mouth. A lot of you can do that pretty good. Let everybody's called. Let everybody can open his mouth, right? It's called preach. Everybody can sing like they say. Everybody can sing that. Everybody should record. We can all sing, right? Everybody say the call. It's prearranged. So you don't have to worry anything about it. Paul speaking relating to another minister and said the calling was preordained. He says in here, 2 Timothy 1:9, who had saved us, number one, and called us, number two, with a holy calling. Or it's a calling of separation, not according to our works. Notice this, that the call and the salvation is not of works. You didn't have to do anything to deserve it or earn it. But notice this, but according to his own purpose and his grace. So it's God's purpose and God's grace. Nobody can tell you, no pastor, no minister, nobody in the world can tell you what you're called to do. It's a grace from God that God puts inside you. And he's called you from the very first time you were ever born. So you didn't have to work for it. He's trying to prove to us that God put inside of us what he wanted for us all the time, which was given to us in Christ before the world began. In other words, before he created the whole world, God already had preordained your destiny. He knew exactly what you're called to do, where you should live, what town you should be in. That's why when people tell me, "You're still in Thunder Bay," as if I'm demoted. And that's where God's putting me. Like it's like going to Siberia. I mean, you know what I'm saying? No, I mean, I enjoy this place. I like it. I walk around town, people know me, wave at me. When I go to Toronto, nobody listens to me. You know? It's good to be in your hometown. Everybody say, "Hi, Mr. Fisher. Hi, Pastor. How are you?" And it's nice. It's not like before where I used to, when in my old life, I'm scared of people. The cops are coming. Duck. Well, here's a tough Eddie. He's coming. So I better hide. I owe money, cash. You know? And somebody knocks on the door on your house. In the old days, somebody knock on your door, you jump under your bed. You hide in your closet. You don't know who's going to be there. Is it the police? Who is it? Is it the gang? They're going to come to arrest you. Is it the police? I was so afraid for many, many years. And still, once in a while, I have to catch myself. Whenever I hear ambulance, I just get shaky. I don't know about you. Anybody ever have that? I have had it for years. And then all of a sudden, I'm getting scared. It's crazy. I mean, you know, I'm talking about getting shocked from life. I mean, what happened to me as a six-year-old boy, I wasn't six, anything about seven maybe, I'm walking down, and I'm just a little native kid walking in the streets at 1 a.m. in the morning. coming from downtown Long Lac from stealing bikes and rhubarbs. We thought, our parents are drunk. Let's go raid some gardens in town. So we walk about, like, you know, I mean, half an hour, maybe 45 minutes. We got little feet. Eh? And we thought it was great to steal bikes. I mean, Paul, I might have stole your bike one time. I don't know about it. He was one of the first native kids I ever saw who had a nice, big, red, shiny bike. Who's that? That's Paul Finlayson. Let's see how he can steal his bike. But he had a huge dog with him, too. Remember Prince? Yeah. He almost bit me once. But anyway. So anyway, we tried. Let's go and steal bikes, you know. This is a great thing. Our parents are all drinking and everything else. I mean, just imagine. You have to imagine this, you know. You'd never think about it now. So we're just little boys, like, you know, little girls, all my cousins. We head uptown, and we're going to raid. We thought it was the greatest thing to steal rhubarbs. Huh? Laughing away, and then we steal bikes along the way, and then we leave, and then before we head back to the reserve, we leave the bike somewhere on the highway or put it in the bush. But we're walking down the street. We're coming down the bridge over in the Long Lac. There's a huge bridge, and then down there there's a hotel where all the, we would say, Indians drink. Okay, I can say that, you can't. So all the Indians drink there, and you know, you walk over there, there's a kind of a lake there and everything else, and there's a reserve there you can see. But anyway, I'm coming down, and we saw like an ambulance and police cars way down there. So we just got excited. We started running down there, and when we got closer, somebody was on the side of the road, and lo and behold, it was my mother. She's dying. And so you asked me why I'm afraid. When I ever see lights, like red lights, and I'm, well, because I got shocked at that time as a kid, and it affected me for years, the trauma. I see my mom dying, bloody, I just blacked out after that, didn't remember. So for me as a kid, I carried those lots of hurts over the years. And my mom, a lot of times, I'd never seen my mom for weeks at a time, because she'd been in a hospital, and kids in this room, but, you know, she's been hurt badly many times. Didn't see my mom for years. So it affected me for many years. So I carried a lot of trauma. I've seen, you know, a lot of violence as a kid, lots of violence and a lot of things that kids should never see and never hear about. And, kids weren't here, I could tell you some general things, but so it affected me, and as a young kid, I grew up. By the time I'm 17, 18, 19, I'm just messed up, and I needed help. And for years, I would suffer trauma. I would wake up with sweats. I didn't understand what trauma is. Nobody talked about trauma. And I would go through this stuff over, and can you imagine one day this young kid went through all those trauma, and I didn't eat for weeks at a time, went to school without food. I come home and everybody's drunk, bottles everywhere, people passed out everywhere, people waking up, see blood on the floor, see people all beaten on the floor. I mean, waking up time and time again as a kid. All of a sudden now, you think about this kid, now he's getting saved, he got born again. And all of a sudden, all the fear and all the trauma, all of a sudden just wiped away in a moment of time. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the depression left me? The fear left me. And I was so happy. And people tell me, what are you happy about? Well, because they don't understand what happened to my life as a kid. God saved me from all that stuff. And it completely went away. I was so happy. Every day I'm happy. Because I'm born again. Darkness was cut completely off my life. I said, God, I want to serve you for the rest of my life. You know, I think about the true beauty of God and how he loves us. And I want to encourage you, anybody that's in this room right here, you know, if you had trauma, listen, trauma, you can overcome trauma. I don't care what they're saying out there. Trauma can be overcome by the anointing of God, the blessing of God, the anointing of God can help you, the Word of God can help you. You know, I'm 64 years old today. But you know what I'm telling you? I wish I would have got this earlier. So if you're a kid, a young person, you stay with God. And if you're a Christian that's bouncing in and out of the kingdom of God, you continue to come back. Don't let anybody stop you. No matter how many times you fail, no matter what's going on in your life, get up. God wants you. God loves every one of you, and he wants to save you for something special. Everybody, let's go ahead and stand up and pray. Praise God. Hallelujah.